Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The moving narrative, Marshall Ever After, Beyond the Plane Crash, Untold Stories by Craig T. Greenlee, is the special edition of his critically acclaimed November Ever After. This memoir about the tragic 1970 Marshall football team plane crash has been given a fresh look. This memoir delves deeper into the heart-wrenching aftermath of the tragedy, revealing a wealth of new stories from friends and families of the victims, an exploration of the deep emotions and societal changes that emerged from the ashes. Craig is a former defensive back for Marshall University, made a seamless transition to journalism with a BA and MA in journalism from Marshall. His life is a testament to the unwavering dedication to storytelling. His distinguished career includes positions as sports editor at Upscale Magazine and correspondent for the industry stalwarts like Black Issues in Higher Education and Convergence Magazines. Beyond a sports story, Marshall Ever After is a testament to perseverance in adversity, the triumph over tragedy, and the power of never giving up. And the author, Craig T. Greenlee, is our guest on This Week in America. Craig, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you so much, and I am thrilled to be here.
It is such an important book that you've written, A Different Perspective. The first book did exceptionally well. I mentioned critically acclaimed November Ever After. Let's talk about that and start with that as a background. Can you share with us what it was like to be part of that Marshall community during the time this happened? And I said you were a member of the football team, a member of the university. What was that like, and how did that influence your decision to write the first memoir, November Ever After?
Well, it's a combination of things. If you go back to that night, you know, there was shock, obviously, and a great sense of bewilderment, and a feeling of total helplessness. In the book, I talked about, I coined the phrase called being numbfounded, in that you could process, you know, what had actually happened, but it still didn't quite register because it was just so devastating. And so it was an inescapable, you know, sort of situation where what I call the gravity of grief is so heavy, it just, you know, it's almost like it would never go away. As far as the influence on me writing the book, that didn't come until way later. I mean, actually, when the first memoir was written, it had only been like 41 years after the crash. So there's a lot of things that happened that kind of led up to me writing it, which I won't get into at this point, but it was a long and winding road. As a matter of fact, I'll probably be writing about that in my third book of this series, what I call the Ever After series. So there's a lot more to shed on that in terms of my personal perspective. But, you know, it's the type of things that, that there's a slogan out that the school has that says, "We will never forget." Well, I know that there's one guy in particular, Dennis Foley, who was on the team that year, and he was injured, so he wasn't on the plane. And he talks about, well, you know, people say we never forget. He said, but I can't forget, because obviously that's just such a mind-numbing thing to just, you know, see a bunch of folks that you grew up, that you played with, that you went to class with, and then the next day they're gone, and you know they're never coming back. So totally devastating. Will always be with you.
This book is Marshall Ever After, Beyond the Plane Crash, Untold Stories by Craig T. Greenlee, the author and our guest on the program. The book available at the usual places at Amazon.com, writersbranding.com, and I'll give you all that information. And we've got links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Craig, in writing November Ever After, you shared unique content that really isn't found in other narratives about the crash. Tell us a little bit about maybe one or two pieces of information that readers will be surprised to learn. Many people in that age group remember vaguely the story. You bring it from new information as you're reading it. It's like, I didn't know this was part of the story. Maybe a couple pieces, if you would, of information that may surprise us about the crash.
Well, I think what's really interesting is that I talked to a few people who were who had the really, I'm not sure exactly how to describe it, but certainly a very nightmarish, you know, sort of situation in that they were in the dorm and people are calling the dorm trying to find out if their son is still alive or what the state of everything is. And there are two particular people that I interviewed. One's a guy named Larry Isom, a friend of mine, and Chuck Landon, who's a longtime sports columnist in West Virginia, were faced with that kind of dilemma. Larry Isom, for example, his best friend was Bobby Hill, who was on the plane, and he had to explain to his mom that he wasn't coming back and that she just wanted to say, well, give it to me straight. And she said, no, I don't have any good news. He's gone. And, you know, he's kind of wrestling and grappling, trying to make sure he says the right thing and show sensitivity and all those kind of different things. And that's a lot to put on somebody that's 19 years old. Now, as far as Chuck Landon, the sports columnist, now he's also 19. He's taking a phone call from one of the player's sisters, who is calling to find out, you know, well, where is my brother? Have you heard anything? What about how is he, you know, did anybody survive? And he knew that nobody survived, but he didn't have the nerve to tell it because he just couldn't do it. And as soon as he hung up and told her, well, you know, it's soon, you know, it won't be long before they, you know, release some information and things like that. But he always kind of second guessed himself about that. And he even talks about that to this day, which I think is shows you, you know, the long, the far reaching impact, you know, of such an event.
Yeah, this was 1970, and these images and what these young men went through, what the community went through, will never go away. And it's a unique perspective. People with family members on the football team, connected with the football team, not waiting for official word, but hoping for some news, hopefully positive news, calling young men, young people on the campus to try to find out what happened. Of course, they know the severity of what happened. It's all comes to life in the book Marshall Ever After, Beyond the Plane Crash, Untold Stories by Craig T. Greenlee. If you're Googling that, Greenlee is G-R-E-E-N-L-E-E. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. There was a report that you were close to being on this plane as well. Tell me a little bit about that and how close you came to actually being part of this.
Well, actually, I played for 2 years at Marshall as a defensive back, and my sophomore year was my last year, which was the year before. And so, I guess maybe around October of 69, I just didn't have the passion to play the game anymore. And so I had made up my decision then that 1969 would be my last year. But I never told anybody. I just didn't show up for spring practice. And so I never really missed the game in terms of, you know, competing and things like that. And the thing of it is, I look back on it because for years I always felt like, well, this is kind of far removed. I mean, I wasn't on the team. I was a regular student, all those kind of different things. But then at the same time, I knew that, well, had I decided to stay, that I very well could have been on the plane. As a matter of fact, when I went home that Thanksgiving after the tragedy, which was only about, I think it was maybe a week or so after Thanksgiving, after the crash, people looked at me and they thought I was on the plane. And a lot of people they looked at me like I was a ghost. And they didn't know because they knew I was at Marshall. They knew I was a football player, and they just assumed that I was among the 75. But that's something that, you know, I guess it just wasn't something that was supposed to happen. I guess that's the only thing that makes any sense to me, because otherwise, you know, it could have very easily been me.
Craig T. Greenlee is our guest on the program, author of the book Marshall Ever After: Beyond the Plane Crash. Let's talk about this book. In the book, you delve deeper into the individual stories, people affected by the crash. Could you share maybe a story or two moving stories from the book that has stayed with you? I'm sure as you're doing this is all coming back again. You're talking to these people. you're getting their stories. As a reporter, you can't just walk away from that, can you? You just can't put your notebook down and walk away and forget about it. There have to be some stories that will stay with you.
Well, one in particular, there's so many that, and it's hard to really rank them. That's one of the reasons why I decided that I needed to put all this, you know, in a book rather than a newspaper article or something like that, because there's so many aspects, you know, to this story that go beyond, you know, what happened that particular night. But in this particular case, let me talk about the Frank Laurier family. Frank Laurier was my position coach at Marshall. He was a defensive backs coach who was a college All-American, a two-time college All-American at Virginia Tech. He was very young. He wasn't that much older than the players. As a matter of fact, when he when at the time of the crash, he was 23 years old, and he had a wife and two kids and one on the way. So you have three children who never met their father. And you also had his then wife at the time, Mrs. Phyllis Laurier Rochelle, was only 23 years old. So I got the opportunity to interview all the family members and to find out what life was like for them. And it was very heartwarming. There's a lot of pain involved, obviously, because of, you know, them not having known their father. But the other part of that is the resiliency and the steadfastness of Phyllis Laurier Rochelle, who just said, well, hey, I had to be strong because I didn't have any choice. And she made the conscious decision to do everything that she could to have his birthdays remembered. And obviously, November 14th was always really hard on her personally. But she always found a way to get through it. And through that whole process, they were able to actually celebrate him, you know, although he died in such a tragic fashion, and even after all this time. And the other part about that is that Frank Laurier was actually a legend. He's in the College Football Hall of Fame. He has a baseball field named after him in his hometown. They do an annual high school awards banquet that bears his name, and they do this every year. They've done it since, I don't know, maybe it's been about 40 years, I think, and they family members typically go there every year, you know, and that type of thing. So that whole situation where I got to interview the mother and all the children was very enlightening, and then at the same time very sad, because you have to kind of feel for what they went through being such a young family, and just different insights and recollections, you know. For example, I think one of the young ladies, Victoria, who's the oldest daughter, she talks about how even at 3 years old, she remembers her dad rescuing her from a dog that was chasing her. And that's her only vivid memory or real-time memory that she has of her dad. But, you know, it's just amazing, you know. And then she also talked about when it was just amazing how when the movie came out, We Are Marshall, she had some neighbors tell her that, well, look, you know, we have some footage of your dad that was on the All-American show that was hosted by Bob Hope. So they gave her the video, and it was just amazing how she could pick up on different things about his personality just based on him being on the TV show, when all he had to do was basically run out and say his name in school. And I mean, that was just, it's just heartwarming. And it just shows you just how, even though things happened such a long time ago, the human mind is wired in such a way that you never forget those things, that you can know every detail down to the last, whatever it is, whatever specific is that you want, or how the hair was combed or what they had on, all those kind of different things. So it's just an amazing, a story about how the human mind works, how the human spirit, defies odds and still finds a way to survive and thrive, you know, at some point.
We hear stories about unity, how Marshall came together, some heartwarming stories of members of the athletic family, the students, members of the community. Flashback to the Friday before. You talk about it in the book. This was a day marked, as many were, with racial tensions. This was 1970. Fights on the Marshall campus. Talk about the day before and then that transformation where people really came together.
Well, it was an ugly scene. It actually was Friday the 13th that year. And there was after an intramural football game, and it was so bad that the city police had to be called in. And so there was talk about, in fact, and three people got hospitalized. So that gives you some indication of the severity, you know, of these fists, because it wasn't just, you know, just a fight. It was an all out brawl. And the feeling among the black students at that time was that we were on the verge of a full scale race riot because of threats about other people coming in from other campuses to settle some scores. And so if you can imagine what it's like to feel like, okay, we're in self-defense mode now and we're on the lookout for anything that looks suspicious, or you're just kind of on edge, you go from that set of emotions and then go down the road like maybe 27, 28 hours. And now you got a whole team that has been wiped out. Not only a whole team, but you're talking about supporters. You're talking about the athletic personnel and all those people. They're just gone in this very, very horrific way. So based on all of that, in the span of like I said, 27, 28 hours, it's almost as it was like, so much was focused on like, what are we going to do? How do we deal with this? Did this really even happen? That's one of the reasons I guess a lot of people actually rushed out to the airport, because it was just unbelievable that something like that would happen. But it was almost, when you look back at it, it was like, okay, N-words didn't really matter anymore. Rebel flags didn't really matter anymore. It was as if the fights from Friday the 13th had never happened. It was amazing. To that amazes me to this day. It's like it never happened. And so now we begin the business of, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to honor these people? How do we, you know, what do we say to the family members and things like that? So there were a group of students. There was a group of students that had went on a chartered bus trip, and they went through like 1,500 miles in 4.5 days, and attended funeral services for seven players, which you can imagine what that one might have been like, going from one city to the next and going through all those different things, because you're talking about, you know, people that you attended class with, people that you went to parties with, people that you, you know, attended church services with, all these different things that college kids do. And so, you know, that has to be something that hopefully never has to happen again, where someone would have to, you know, put together that kind of a trip, because it's just such a devastating loss, such a sad time. And again, you know, just the gravity of grief was just very heavy and just kind of all encompassing. You couldn't escape it. Even if you wanted to, you couldn't escape it. And so, you know, eventually over time, things, you know, kind of gets back to normal slowly but surely. But in terms of, you know, people just came together and said, okay, well, what are we going to do? And that really became the order of business, so to speak.
It's an amazing story. Marshall Ever After, Beyond the Plane Crash, Untold Stories by our guest, Craig T. Greenlee. The book is available wherever books are sold. Send you to Amazon.com, writersbranding.com. You chose to republish. This was a republish of November Ever After with some modifications. What drove the decision, and what can readers expect new from this? How does this edition differ from the original?
Well, the main thing I wanted to do was just kind of give it a fresher look. I felt like I could have, you know, one of the things I kept looking at, the initial ones, in terms of just the presentation visually and, you know, what I could do with a subtitle that would draw people in more. Because what I've discovered is that this type of story resonates And it's not limited by gender. It's not limited by race. It's not even limited by age group.
Yes.
That because these things touch on, you know, pretty much a lot of universal kind of things like resilience and, you know, what I call bounce back ability and, you know, just keep going in spite of things not looking like they're going to go your way, that everybody can relate to that. Everybody can relate to something that will show you that you can overcome in spite of bad situations. And that, I think that's a universal type of thing that will that appeals to everybody, regardless of where they are, regardless of how old they are, regardless of, you know, what the culture is or all of that. It covers everything. It's not just football, but of course, football is the, I guess, the starting point, so to speak, but it goes way beyond that. You know, I've often said that the Marshall story is really about what happens after the tragedy, because that's where all the victories come. And the victories never come if you just concentrate just on the horrific aspect of it. That's the mistake. That's one of the mistakes I made. I have never been to a there's an annual ceremony that the school has every year without fail. Every year on November 14th, there's a fountain ceremony. The fountain was built right after the crash, and it's been there since then. And it's a standing monument to those who died that night. And every year, there's a fountain ceremony, a very moving ceremony. And a lot of times, I know for years, I say, I don't want to go to that because it takes me back to that night. The problem with that is there's more to it than that night.
Yes.
And the thing of it is, look what happened afterwards, because somebody decided, the decision was made that, okay, this is not good. This is bad. How are we going to deal with this? We're just going to find a way. And obviously things turned out, you know, I guess probably that maybe none of us ever thought would ever happen in our wildest dreams, but it did. Because there was a concerted effort to continue forward in spite of what things looked like at that particular time.
And it's amazing the people that you write about, college kids who grew up. You talk about Reggie Oliver, a freshman at the time, made a transition to a leader on campus. Macy Lugo, a 1970 Black homecoming queen, and what she was able to do. Ed Carter, you talk about these individuals that really met the challenge, that grew up during this time and helped bring the city together, the city, all of the Marshall community together. It's an amazing book, Marshall Ever After, Beyond the Plane Crash, Untold Stories. Craig T. Greenlee, our guest on the program. We're going to take a minute or so here at the end. What was the impact like for you writing the first book, doing the research? You lived it, but now you're going back and you're documenting this for history. Now you're going back again with Marshall Ever After. You relive some of these stories. You know the people. You know the situations. How emotional was this for you in writing this?
Well, it's a virtual trip down memory lane, but here's the thing, and this is something that I never really thought would happen. I, you know, when I wrote the first book, I didn't see anything else beyond just what I had written initially. But what happened was that as soon as the book came out, and over maybe after maybe the first 6 to 8 months after publication, I got so many new stories that I had never heard of myself.
Yes.
That people were contacting me through my blog. I had a blog going at the time, and a lot of it became material that I said, well, you got to put this in there because nobody else has got this stuff out there. And it was a lot of stuff that people just didn't really know, and things that needed to be included in that because it is part of the story. And it deserves to get, you know, its day in the sun, so to speak. So, you know, the thing, that's how I came across my position coach's family. Initially, someone had contacted Frank Loria Jr. and sent him a copy of the first book. And that's how we kind of got in contact with each other, you know, and stayed connected over the years. And then when I decided to do the sequel, then he was telling me, well, and I just didn't, you know, I just kind of assumed. I said, well, I don't know if I want to try to interview his mom because she's probably, you know, I kind of made a lot of assumptions. And I kind of come to find out that they wanted to talk. So I was able to interview everybody, and which is something that I hadn't really planned on doing. But since it turned out that way, because what I found, Rick, is that when you get people to talking about these things that are very painful in their lives, it becomes a healing process for them.
Yes.
And it helps them to demonstrate to others, that maybe even people that they don't even know, that it will be something that they will say or some experience that they've had that they share that will be truly helpful to other people. So see, it's a very helpful sort of situation, I think, when people do that. That's one of the reasons why I'm going to do a third book in the Ever After series. It didn't start out that way, but you know, I have yet to deal with some of my own personal things. I haven't really gotten very deep into that because I really concentrated more on other people's stories. But there are a lot of things that I'm beginning to kind of look at, even after all this time, and to just, you know, kind of reflect on and just kind of give my, you know, my so-called quote-unquote 2 cents worth about, you know, how all this fits together and what it's meant for me and how it shaped how I view things and my worldview and all those kind of different things.
Well, it's such an interesting perspective you have going through that, being part of the Marshall community, being part of the football team and playing with so many of these people and under so many of these coaches just the year before, and seeing the change in Marshall from what happened on Friday the 13th to what happened after the tragic plane crash. This book is Marshall Ever After, Beyond the Plane Crash, Untold Stories. November After is the first book by Craig T. Greenlee, Greenlee. Book available wherever books are sold. Craig, you're on Facebook too. What's the best way to find you on Facebook?
Just Craig T. Greenlee, just... You can just Google me.
Well, that's the best way. And we've got all of this. Yeah. If you go to Facebook and you do Craig's name, and that will come up, Craig T. Greenlee. You can find the website information there when that's available. And you can order the book, most importantly, and share this book with so many people. It's not a sports book. It's a humanity book. And it's so well written. Distinguished career on the part of Craig T. Greenlee. And he's still going strong. Looking forward to book number three, talking more about your emotions, and hopefully we can talk about that as well. Craig, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for spending some time with us on the program.
Well, thank you for allowing me to share what I've discovered over these years. I appreciate it to the utmost.
It has been our pleasure. Craig T. Greenlee, the book Marshall Ever After, Beyond the Plane Crash, Untold Stories. You can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I'd like to thank Writers Branding for arranging our conversation today. Book available wherever books are sold. And again, information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we are back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.